from the city of brotherly love, this is Shark Bite Biz with David Strausser.
Did it again. You just arrived to the newest episode of Shark Bite Biz. I'm your rock star wannabe host, David Strausser, and this is your place to learn how to grow a business during complete global chaos. So what are we going to be chatting about today? Building credit for your business. Who do we have? Deborah Wyant. Deborah Wyant's multifaceted career extends beyond her pioneering role in the tech industry. After graduating from Columbia College with a BS in business administration and accounting in 1993, she delved into corporate risk management with Fortune 500 companies in Chicago. The late 90s saw her drawn to the vibrant landscape of New York City, where she became part of the dot-com boom, contributing to the introduction of chat technology. So, hey, without further delay, let's bring Deborah right on in here.
Business strategy.
Deb, welcome to Shark Bite Biz. You, my friend, you just became shark bait.
It's great to be here, David. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. So we have a tradition here. We ask every single person. Okay, what's your background? What do you do for a living? What's your experience? How'd you get there? Basically, what makes Deb dead in a nutshell?
Great question. So I'll try to keep it concise. I've got a pretty broad background, but right now I'm serving as the Chief Administrative Officer at J. Galt Finance Suite and a number of other businesses that I own and operate. My husband and I both do. But before I was here at J. Galt, I have a pretty lengthy background in business in a lot of different ways. I started out in Fortune 500 companies. I lived in Chicago right out of college. I have a business degree. And so I was in corporate risk management there for some F500s. And then I moved to New York in the late 90s to join a dot-com startup. You might remember the late 90s dot-com startup New York, right? They were popping out like rabbits. And everyone was driving towards an IPO opportunity. And we were not alone in that. And the product that we were working to bring to the market was chat, or now we call it texting. So yep. It was harder back then, right? Trying to send a little message over a dial-up connection. But now it's a pretty easy thing. But at the time, we were just trying to make the thing stable and work and then figure out who wants it in the marketplace. Couldn't have really known just how universally it would be received in the marketplace from that standpoint, right? We use it every day of our lives now. And it's like inventing the telephone, right? It's really transformed our lives. So we did succeed at that IPO. We went public. And then I moved on, started having children, and moved to the Midwest. So that was New York, moved back to the Midwest to raise my daughters. But I had been investing also in real estate privately since 94. So had that going on sort of everywhere we lived. I was, on vacation. That was a little bit of hobby addiction. And so I started working for a company that manages apartment complexes across the country. And they had 8,000 doors under management, suffered severely from the 08 crisis, if we remember that, 08, 09.
Oh, yeah.
Helped to put them back together and ran their operations for some time, formed a board for them, and then served on their board. And then I was brought into a PEO based in Michigan and became their regional president, served with them many years, and was managing their sales and marketing team across the country, their nationwide PEO. And then around that time, I started working with Cole, my husband, on a project. And then Galt came and presented itself. It was an idea on a napkin. And we just brought it to the market and were just blown away by the response. I think it's an opportunity whose time has come. I think the time has come for small business owners to prosper and to be properly protected and promoted. And so now I'm at J. Galt as the chief admin officer. Kind of my fingerprints are everywhere throughout that organization, as you might imagine. But that's what I'm doing these days. And, our vision at J. Galt is to prosper and protect small business owners.
So what exactly is J. Galt?
Thanks for asking. Great question. So J. Galt is it's a SaaS platform that includes a heavy administrative and advisory team that helps walk small business owners through a process to help them build business credit on their EIN number. So what we're talking about here is untethering them from their personal social security number and getting their business squarely invested on their EIN. So a lot of times business owners will start a business, they form an LLC, right? And they think they've got that corporate shield to protect their personal assets from their business assets. And then they go sign personally for all the debt. which means we've just torn down that corporate veil. Now we have total access to personal assets, 401ks, homes, all those personal assets. And we're trying to protect them from doing that. The people at Walmart, nobody signs personally for those $800 million in lines of credit. And neither mm-hmm. should small business owners. But when they talk to their bankers and their lenders, they all say, this is the only way to do it. There is no other way. We have folks that have come out of, Kellogg School of Management and, high level MBAs, PhDs in business, and none of them have heard of what we do. And we think it's intentional. We think that business owners are being intentionally, not given the proper information. The way we describe it is we're firing missiles of truth at walls of deception.
Right.
Helping them to unpack what they don't know and to properly structure their business so that they can both protect their personal assets, but also grow. You can access a lot more credit at a lot less cost if it's squarely implanted on that business and not on your personal. So lots of reasons that go into that, but I'll pause, take a breath for a minute. And
No problem. I was going to, ask one of the questions is like, how do you build business credit? Because I do know from, my dad had a business for a long time and had an EIN, and I don't know, it was around maybe 30 years or so. But with that business, he wasn't able to get many things under the business name, even though he was an established business, tax filings, all that stuff, like totally legit licenses, all that good stuff. But he always had to tie it to his personal credit. It was nearly impossible to build business credit. So the question would be is like, how do businesses actually build their business credit?
Yeah, great question. And the scenario you described, we see all day long, every day. Oftentimes we meet with a business owner, a small business owner, and they'll say, I've got business credit. I've got some credit cards with my company name on it. And they're not reporting to my personal. But the truth is that if they defaulted, if they were late, if they had a flaw in that transaction, it would report to their personal. So, there's a kind of a little bit of an education element to that, helping people know. We also will pop up their business credit profile, and it might say something like you described, this robust business. We make, maybe top line revenue of a couple of million dollars a year. We've got, lots of employees, lots of assets, and we put it on the screen for them and we say, what do you think? Here's what your business score says. Your business profile says, here are your earnings. Yeah, that's about right. What do you think you're going to qualify for in lending? It has a recommendation right there on the business report. And
that's cool.
You scroll up and it might say $500. Right. And they're going, how is that possible? Right? I mean, it's not even logical. Right. And so, that is the big aha moment that we bring to business owners. We offer free credit reports for any business owner, anyone that wants to raise their hands out. I want to take a look at what's on my business credit report. We're happy to show them what's on their business credit report so they can see it for themselves.
So my follow-up to that then would be, you're talking business credit, and I think traditionally D&B, Dun's number, stuff like that has been what a lot of banks and people use to kind of judge a business, like, oh, do they pay on time, they pay late, things like that. How important is the D&B, the Dun's report number or whatever it's called, like how important is that these days?
It's very important. In fact, it's becoming more and more important in the marketplace. Recently, we've discovered and we've encountered scenarios where people were applying for personal credit, like, their credit card or, a loan on a vehicle or a piece of equipment personally, and their business credit report was checked and they were declined because of something that was there. Like, I didn't even know I had a business credit report. You're declining me for something I don't even know it exists. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's very new in the market. We're kind of on the cutting edge of exactly what's happening. It's a moving, shifting, shuffling type of an environment with lending. Right. And so they're always kind of changing the rules. It's a little bit ambiguous. We again think it's on purpose. And so we're staying right on that cutting edge to know, why is this important? What kind of information are they looking for? You said it, Dun & Bradstreet is one of them. But we look at all three bureaus, and what we're trying to help them do is to build a score. So on your personal side, we're all familiar. Most of us know, have some idea what our personal FICO score is. But on the business side, most people have no idea they even have one, or right. They don't know what that score is. But that scoring system is between 0 and 100. So when we come in with someone who's just got really nothing going on, their business credit reports are not showing anything. By the way, I want to insert on this point that only 7% of financial institutions report to the business credit profile. They all report to your personal. But only 7% even report. So it's difficult. It's a difficult landscape to navigate, because not only do you need to get some business credit going, but you also need to get people who will report to your profiles, to the three bureaus. Otherwise, you're not going to grow your score. And right. So you talk about, what do? We have a SaaS platform that walks them through step by step everything. First, we need to get that foundation built. We need to help them make sure that they're properly structured, that names are correct, emails are correct. There are about 123 elements that are reviewed for business credit profiles to be developed. And so a lot of times people go, I'm going to try and do it myself. God bless you. You know, take a couple of years doing it. Again, that landscape that is shifting all the time. So it's very difficult, right, to keep up with what those changes are. But inside of our platform, within a couple of weeks, we'll have that entire profile built and structured. And now it's ready to receive or stand on top of that foundation, the bureaus that we want to start reporting and the trade lines that we start building for you. So inside of the platform, we didn't just create the foundation. We also then introduce you based on your profile. We can start lending. We can start extending lending opportunities here. And it's a 7-tier process. So as they gradually move through our program, they're able to get opened up to more and more credit opportunities. And those opportunities are right inside of our SaaS platform. They can see them, which ones they're qualified for. We know the underwriting criteria for every single one of them. So we know. You don't have to wonder if you're going to qualify when you apply. We already know you're going to qualify, because we're maintaining all the criteria for all these lending opportunities. We have about 1,000 lenders inside of our platform.
Wow. That is incredible. That's pretty, pretty awesome. So let's talk about shift gears a little bit. Like, what are some of the factors that contribute to the success of small to medium-sized businesses? That's my specialty as well, too. I work in the SMB space, with small businesses. That's what this podcast is dedicated towards, speaking to businesses like that want to grow. So what are some of those factors that really contribute to their success?
Well, you know, on our side of the fence, if I dare say, revenue, opportunity to access cash, right? Capital.
Right.
Most businesses are strapped for capital. They can grow to a certain level, but unless they get access to that next level of capital, they can't continue to scale. And so scaling a business requires capital. And so it's one of the number one reasons why businesses don't succeed is because they ran out of capital. They lack the capital that they need.
So limited cash flow or credit resources, it does sound like that it has a pretty negative impact on business operations.
No question about it. You know, look at a builder, for example, that, you know, they're in the middle of a project, and the project has gone, they had some scope creep, right? The cost ended up being higher than they needed to be. They've still got to go back and do collections, right? They're trying to collect money, but they're also trying to pay all of their workers and suppliers and all the people that have been part of that project. And then all of a sudden the project fails because those two things are not happening at the right speed. I've made commitments to vendors and to my contractors, but I don't have the resources. So if I had the access to capital, I could cover that gap and then continue to grow in those projects. Another example, you're a plumber again, and you've got more business than you can handle, but you've only got two trucks and you need another truck, but you can't qualify for another truck because your personal FICO scores won't permit you to get any more, right? You've maxed that out, right? You've got a home, you've got, you know, whatever other financial commitments that are showing up on that report. They're going to say, you can't handle anymore, but you know, if I could get another vehicle, then I could scale, right? But you can't get access to that. But if you're on your business, equipment financing and leasing is an important part of growing and scaling your business in order to maintain and keep up with demand. So those are just a couple of examples that popped in my mind.
Yeah. Well, they were fabulous examples. And I think anybody out there can definitely understand it. So as our last topic, as we start wrapping up towards the end of this interview, I'm sure nobody works for a company where they feel that they have ineffective management, because everybody's manager is the greatest, right? But I mean, reality, how does ineffective management contribute to business failure?
I mean, I think it's huge. That's a mouthful, right? I mean, I think volumes have been written about that. I think culture is a big part of management's responsibility, right? Setting mm-hmm. the vision for the organization and the culture for the organization is an enormous part of whether a company succeeds or fails. So I'd say, from the manager's roles, and I would even maybe use a different word, I'd say the leaders, right? Mm-hmm. You know, leaders are about casting vision and getting people in, driving engagement and initiatives, right? And then the management's just there to make sure that those initiatives are being executed well. And so I think that, the execution elements, we also see, especially in small business owners, we see some real deficiencies in execution capabilities. Again, going back to an example, if you're a plumber, I keep using that, right? You're a plumber and you're fantastic. To get your trade, right? You know all there is to know about plumbing, but what about business, right? And all the particulars and the technicalities. Being in business is way more complicated today than it was even 10 years ago or 20 years prior. And it's going to be more complicated 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So
how a lot more restrictions, regulations, yeah. licenses, permits. Just so much more complicated all around.
It really is. Yeah. Having connections to experts, right? Mm-hmm. Leaning into experts, staying in your lane in terms of being really great at your craft, but then placing those experts around your organization to cover those areas where we need to make sure we're protecting and fortifying a company, I think is a real big part of growing a small business.
Wow. This has been incredible. This was, you're a fast speaker. So this was like drinking from a fire hose. No, you're good. You're good. Because I mean, we banged through all those topics and you gave, so many golden nugget tidbits, I think, that really can kind of help companies grow in different areas, especially business credit, because I think we've kind of discussed about how that is critical for their growth.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Another area I want to say is cash flow. Understanding your cash flow, not just getting cash flow, but understanding it. And so to that end, I'd like to offer your listeners, we'll give away five. We have a inside of our platform, we have a cash flow mapping software, and that software helps them to really understand and digest what's happening in their P&L, right? So we're taking all of their financial information, aggregating it so they can really understand where they sit. As an example, we had a member come into our platform. We sat down with her. She had a small business she'd been running on the side. She had a full-time job, and on the side, she's running this business for many years. And we sat down and we went through this exercise of cash flow mapping. And she discovered her dream was to stop working her day job and figure out how she could take a paycheck from her small business. And so we sat down with her, walked her through the system. It's a very easy system to execute, but she just went through it and said, I can actually quit my job. I actually can start taking a paycheck. But she didn't know that until we really helped her unpack what the landscape of her financial situation was inside of her small business. And that's something we also do inside of our platform. Besides the business credit building program, we also offer cash flow mapping. It's included in mm-hmm. our offering. And we also do a business evaluation annually. So they can come in and get a full-blown business evaluation. What is my business worth? And we can do that inside of our platform as well. So for inviting me on to your program today, we'll offer five of those for free. Cash flow mapping. We'll just first five people that I hear from, we'll send the a login to, and they can log in and find out more about their small business. Oh,
that's very gracious of you. So while we're at it, how can people reach out to you? Where can people find out more about your company? Give us all the details.
Okay, so jgalt.io is our website, jgalt.io. And my email is deb at jgalt.io.
No, perfect. Deb, this was amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. And this really is kind of innovative. And it's really cool because I think it will change how, you know, I'm big into AI, I'm big into BI, you know, but business intelligence and really getting true insights into what's happening in your business. How much money do I owe? How much money is owed to me? Things like that. Because I do ERP, enterprise resource planning systems, as my day job. And ChartByteBiz is my side job. But, you know, finding out like those details are so critical for so many different businesses. And it seems like that's what you do, but more on the financial side as far as credit and credit building. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your expertise, your knowledge. You know, it's funny, this started with a napkin. But it is sounds like an amazing platform that a lot of people can, you know, take advantage of. So thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
No problem. Take care. Cheers. Bye-bye. Wow. That was an incredible chat with Deborah, right? First, you all know the routine. If you found this interview helpful, if it sparked those warm and fuzzies, do me a favor, hit that like button, smash that subscribe button. But if you really want to help us out, because you know SharkBiteBiz is the greatest kept secret in the world of small business, please help us out. Share us out to your friends, your family, your colleagues, anywhere that you dwell on the interwebs. I'd love to see nothing more but Deborah Wyatt and SharkBiteBiz out there trending. Awesome stuff, Deborah. Thanks for coming on, sharing your expertise, and please check out the link for her business Jay got down below. Question of the day, how did you build credit for your business? Leave a comment down below on YouTube. And if you want to be in the show, interviews at SharkBiteBiz. If you're watching on YouTube, please join the channel. $3 a month, you can support us by becoming a baby shark. You all know this by now, but I'll say it once again. I'm David Strasser. This is SharkBiteBiz. We'll see you all next episode. Cheers.
You've just experienced SharkBiteBiz with Dave Strasser. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the show to help us spread the word about personal, professional, and business growth. Want to be on the show? Send an email to interviews@sharkbitebiz.com. Special shout out to our sponsor, an SAP and Acumatica Gold Partner Stellar One. Get off QuickBooks. Automate businesses' processes. And have your business reach the stars. StellarOneConsulting.com or reach out to the show. Till next episode.